The Holy Trinity, or the deity of our Lord God, is described in different ways. The Holy Bible contains different descriptions by its various authors to help us achieve and improve an understanding of this mystery. But people still develop their own varied theories, and one person may use different terms than another person with identical intentions, especially amongst people of different cultures and with different educations. The relations of the separate beings which are parts of the one God is about the most difficult thing to understand about God. It is about the existence of spiritual heavenly bodies which we do not fully comprehend because we have not experienced life in that form. I believe the Word of God tells us so much about this mystery of the hierarchy and coexistence of the deities of God because it will help us to spiritually join with God and because of our desire to know. I've chosen scriptural references by the Apostle John to support my explanation of the Holy Trinity as a close unity of three separate beings that exist together as one. Some of the same verses that people use to support their favorite description that God is the body, soul, and spirit of a single being. This is not an argument because both explanations are true. True because the separate beings join together. Church organizations usually have a statement of belief or core values about the form in which they believe that God exists. One of the simplest statements amongst the churches I'm familiar with is that we believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, and farther explain that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are coexistent, or that these three individuals combine to form a single God, or join together, as I said a minute ago. After listening to their teachings, it's easy to see that these are different ways of saying the same belief. It's wandering into a falsehood to say that God has different personalities, when it means that God's character changes, but not false that God can simultaneously exist in different forms and places. I found some churches to be using a phrase that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are co-equal, but none of them offered an explanation for the term co-equal. Perhaps they just figured I was picking at them and didn't need an explanation. My purpose for asking was that I was curious if they might be trying to pervert the gospel to teach things that particular people might feel more comfortable with. But I also consider and hope that perhaps they are describing the same thing that I might think of as coexistence. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit exist together, having devotions to each other or fidelity with each other, working together for the will of God. Equal powers of God are derived because the Father gives power to the Son and the Spirit. It is the Father's power and glory and is used as He wills. The Father remains the Father who sent the Son and the Spirit, but the Father does not exist without them. Equality in the ways that the Bible tells us should exist between parent and child, master and servant, employer and employee, is between those who actually care for each other and support each other in their own separate functions. Thereby all serve each other. Like a person's mind and various organs of their body work together to sustain their mortal being. As a parent maintains control but also serves the needs of the children. And you can find in the Holy Scriptures that the words equal and equality are sometimes used in ways that are interchangeable with the words just and justice, which also magnifies the meanings of those words. So it may be said that a servant who is justly treated is therefore equal with the master. The first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John starts by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that was a passage of Scripture that people used to support the teaching that Jesus Christ was the Almighty God himself, come to live amongst us as a mortal person. I will say that Christ existed with God from before creation as a closest companion or his son. Even before his mortal life as Jesus Christ, Christ is also God because of the way he exists with the Almighty God. The Bible that we know as the written Word of God makes knowledge of this relationship available to anyone who can read about it. And the Spirit of Truth that we know as the Holy Ghost makes it possible to experience and actually feel this relationship as a part of it. Of course, a person that pleases God but lacks the knowledge of God might only know the presence of the Lord as something fiercely wonderful. Continuing with the 5th chapter of John, at the 16th verse, where Jesus had healed people of their sickness at a time and place that riled up a crowd that didn't like him. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father riseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That was one of my favorite passages, where Jesus explains his mission of doing his Father's work and representing his Father's relations with mankind. And now I'm going to a couple of places where he describes himself as a part of God, and that to know Christ is to know God. At John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says that I and my Father are one. In the 14th chapter of John, starting with verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Continuing at verse 16, Jesus told about the Holy Ghost being a part of the spiritual relationship. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And with that we heard that we can also be spiritually joined together with the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is both a Comforter and the Spirit of Truth. Skipping to verse 26, where Jesus is talking to his companions again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard now how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Going on to John chapter 15, where Jesus talks to his disciples, comparing their relationship to the branches of the fruit of the vine. and mentions that he considers them his friends. Starting at verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." And he goes on talking about the world hating him for no reason and persecutes believers for his sakes. Jesus prays to God in the 17th chapter of John. In the 24th verse, he mentions his existence before the creation of the world. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." There are two descriptions of the Holy Trinity mentioned together in the first epistle of John. Chapter 5 tells about faith, and our believing in Jesus Christ being the Son of God is the way to eternal life. Talking about God's witness of this, verses 7 and 8 tell us, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." The same three are in heaven and earth, but he uses different descriptions to help people understand. To finish with something different, I'm reading the Apostle John's vision of Christ's glorious return to deliver judgment on the earth that he recorded in the 19th chapter of Revelation. "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of my Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.